Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse number 1. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. And just as an introductory note, this is Moses speaking. So that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Sister Brenda Wilkerson, Sister Lena Caudill, Sister Lorraine Smiley, Sister Mary Jackson, Sister Lou Hawkins, who are these women? They're not just random names. Those were my Sunday school teachers from grade 6 through 11th grade. I know from time to time when I speak and I talk about my development as a Christian, my development as a minister, I frequently mention some of the men that were instrumental in who I am. And sometimes I mention some of the women, primarily my mother. You know, if it wasn't for my mother who you know, banged on my door when I was 11, 12 years old and said, "Boy, get up, we're going to church today." I don't know that I'm standing here. But also the women that I just mentioned. I mean, the first time I went to church and I went to Sunday school, seventh grade or sixth grade class with Sister Lena Caudill. I'll never forget sitting in class and seeing a guy that I went to school with, which kind of made that being in an unfamiliar place a little easier because I knew someone that was in my Sunday school class, but I'll never forget Sister Lena Caudill, just a very soft-spoken. She had a very high-pitched voice, and she's like, "Good morning, children." You know what I mean, just very. I'll never forget that. And then, you know, eighth grade, going to Sister Smiley's class. She was the minister's wife, and these women are a part of who I am. They're a part of my makeup. When I go back to Buffalo to visit church, and they know that I'm in town, they run to see me. I run to go see them because they want to see how I'm doing. You know, Sister Caudill remembers when I was this quiet in the class, church. I was this quiet kid in the class, didn't want to speak a lot. And she spoke into my life by teaching me. And so primarily my mother was a primary figure in my faith development. But in terms of being in a class setting and being taught the stories of the Bible, it was Sister Smiley's class where I first learned the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we learned them so well that it's just part of my, I mean, I can't remember the lyrics, the songs that we sing every week. The praise team makes fun of me for that. But if you ask me what the 12 tribes of Israel, the names are, I can tell you all. I can tell you who their mothers were. I can tell you the order that they were born. I learned that in Sister Smiley's class. And I thank God that he put these women in my life and put me in a setting to be a beneficiary of of being educated in a Christian setting. Church, the reason we have set aside this day is to give praise to God and to recognize the many servants that have cast the direction of going forward as it pertains to the ministry to young people in our church and community. And I can tell you that when families with children come and visit our church, they are interested in how the church ministers to children. I can tell you that the vitality of churches often hinge on how well it ministers to its young people. And some might say that the success of our society in general is a result of how we take care of and educate and prepare and develop our children. In the scripture reading this morning, we read the words that was part of a farewell address. Moses was addressing Israel as they were on the precipice of entering into the promised land. They had wandered for 40 years and had all types of stories and adventures. And here they are about to enter the land that God had promised them. And for ancient Israel, again, on the precipice of entering this new land, they needed to hear instruction. They needed to be taught. And the book of Deuteronomy, it's a collection of Moses' farewell addresses, his farewell sermons. And some consider that what Moses says in Deuteronomy as some of the most important teaching for a nation going to a new land. And so among them, these words in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This was a prayer. It's called the Shema. Shema is Hebrew for the word hear. That's the first word of that prayer. This prayer, since ancient times, has been is a prayer that is to be observed by Jews. They pray it at least twice a day. It contains the core of Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord's teaching. The Lord our God, He is one. Love Him and Him only. Devote your lives to Him. Wholly give your lives to God, mind, body, and soul. But Moses' instructions wasn't just for Israel to memorize these words and just to recite it daily. They were to share those words in teaching. And so in verse number 7 of chapter 6, Moses tells the people to impress those words, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. That's morning, that's afternoon during the day, and that's at nighttime. The transfer of this most important teaching and practice was to take place primarily, first place, at home. Parents were tasked with teaching their children about Yahweh. Parents were tasked with teaching their children about Yahweh's commands and His laws. Parents were tasked with teaching and telling their kids about the momentous events in the life of God's people, like the Exodus, the story of when they came out of Egypt and they passed through the Red Sea. They were tasked, the parents, with telling their children about the story of their most important patriarch, Abraham. Moses instructs the people in other spots in this speech in Deuteronomy to teach their children. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, starting at verse number 17. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Again, look, the transference of this teaching, the teaching of God's ways, it lies primarily with parents. But those teachings are supplemented with the experience in the community of God. So then, when you read the book of Psalms, for instance, and you read these words that were meant for the worshiping community, the Psalms were prayers and songs that were shared in community. That's men, that's women, that's adults, and that's children. And when you read the words of the Psalms, you see allusions to some of the stories of Israel. You see things about the Exodus. You see things about crossing through the Red Sea. You see things about God's activity. You see things about God's law, God, the Torah. And so that the worshiping community of God in Israel was to supplement the teaching that was already going on at home. There was a communal effort to ensure the vitality of the future generations. I've shared this in other sermons, in a sermon about discipleship. I talked about how young boys, primarily young boys, were taught the Torah, and they start very early. I mean, they literally start reciting Torah to babies so that they can understand that this is going to be a part of their lives. And by age five, they begin to memorize huge portions of the Torah. When I say Torah, I'm talking about the first five books of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. We call it sometimes the Pentateuch, the first five books. By age 10, most Hebrew boys have the entire Torah memorized, not just they know the names of the first five books. They have it memorized. That's how much teaching goes on. That's not just teaching that goes on in the home. That's teaching that goes on at the synagogue with the rabbi who drills and teaches these young boys how to embody Torah. And again, this was done so that future generations would be preserved with the mindset of having the Lord, the God, the Shema, having the Lord, the God as being one, loving him with all the heart, soul, and mind. A contemporary Jewish rabbi, he wrote this in reference to the importance of children and the importance of keeping children educated. He wrote, "Children are regarded as the hope of the future in every society. Yet among the Jewish people, this concept is enhanced by the view that children are a divine trust and guarantors of the future." And he adds this, quote, "In addition to the intrinsic value of the child and our responsibilities accordingly, Judaism recognizes that the well-being of society as a whole is determined by our treatment of children. Moreover, just as we were beneficiaries when they were kids, because we were beneficiaries of such consideration, we are obliged to demonstrate such for future generations." Do you see that this rabbi says that it is our communal edict? This is a value of ours. This is a command for us to ensure that we preserve future generations through teaching. About a month or so ago, I visited Temple Israel, which is a synagogue on Broad Street, west of here. Right after 270 is right there on the left-hand side if you're traveling west on Broad Street. Now, I went there for a Shabbat service, a Sabbath service on a Saturday. I didn't know that they have their big Shabbat service on Friday night. Friday night at sundown, that's when Sabbath starts. That's the seventh day. And so they have their big service on Friday night. But I went on Saturday, and there were a few people there. There was a rabbi there. There was another gentleman there, and then there was a father and his daughter. And they were having a sort of a small group Shabbat service. And I walked in, and it was a pretty intimidating experience because, you know, I walked in and I was pretty sure they were going to know that I didn't belong to that synagogue just because of the shirt I was wearing, But they invited me in. It was one of the most hospitable and welcoming experiences that I have ever experienced. And I sat in a circle with them. They were in the library, and they were practicing for this young lady's bar mitzvah. She was turning 13. And so I sat there and I watched the rabbi and the father and the daughter recite these prayers that they have been praying in Judaism for thousands of years. And he was practicing with her, you know, not just how, you know, not just the words to say, but how to say them. There were different inflections and different tones that she had to say the prayer. And, you know, she would say it one way. He said, no, you got to go on a higher pitch on this. And I sat and I experienced the transfer of God's ways to this young girl who was now growing into womanhood. And I saw firsthand the importance of teaching. I saw the firsthand with my own eyes experience, sat there in a circle with a group of people who said, it's very important that we take our children and we teach them the ways of Yahweh. And quite simply, it was one of the most beautiful experiences I have ever experienced. Now, there's another Jewish rabbi that many of us are familiar with who said something that I think carries with it the very sentiments of what this contemporary Jewish rabbi has written. And I just took a sample from a 1,000-word essay about preserving the future generation of children. There's another Jewish rabbi that I think said basically the same thing, but it was more succinct and to the point. This Jewish rabbi that I refer to, his name is Jesus. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew, as recorded in Matthew 19. It's in all of the synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke. Verse number 13 of Matthew 19 says, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples were telling people, stop bringing your kids to Jesus. That doesn't even sound right, does it? But this is what Jesus said. This is what this Jewish rabbi said to these parents or these disciples. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. When it comes to young people, when it comes to children, Jesus gets serious. And as followers of Jesus, we should get serious about how we treat children. Not just our kids, but also kids in the community. This rabbi writes, the contemporary rabbi that I referred to a moment ago, he writes a great deal about why there are so many commands in Torah about taking care of orphans, taking care of kids that don't have parents, taking care of kids that don't have homes. If the home is the primary place where people are to learn about faith, if they don't have parents, where are they going to learn about faith? And so the community of Jews, they take the orphans. They take the kids that are neglected. They take the kids that are abused. They take the kids that they're not getting instruction at home. So when it comes to children, as followers of Jesus, we need to be feel that we have been called to reach both our kids, the kids that we see here every Sunday, and kids in the community. It's not a either or, it's a both and. That's why I'm so thankful that years ago, the leadership here commissioned a team to come together and to just simply look at our children's education program and to revamp it, to revise it, to find ways to interject new life and to get more servants to participate. I'm just curious, how many people here were on that original team that looked at the children's education? If you're here, like, stand up. Just go ahead and stand up. Let's see how many people are here. Oh, we have two over here, three, four. Yeah, this was the team that came together, the elders commissioned and prayed for and said, we want you to look at the education program and we want you to study and look at different and so as a result, you know, we revamped a bunch of rooms and we revamped the way that we were going to do the classes instead of what has been a traditional Sunday school class system of 12 to 13 weeks a quarter. You know, we broke them down into smaller units, 3 to 4 weeks, and so when you recruited teachers, it wasn't about recruiting a teacher to teach for 13 weeks or 26 weeks. It was about recruiting for about 3 or 4 week segments. So I've participated in teaching some of these small segments, and I had a ball doing it. And instead of having every class looking the same, if you've got a performing arts room and we've got a fireside chat and we've got a computer room and we have all these things, and maybe you're in here and you didn't even know that. Like, you've been going to church here for the past several years, you didn't even know that there are all these different classrooms. There's a science room, there's an art room, there are all these different ways, because kids learn different ways. Some people are more in tune with learning through art, some are more in tune in learning through technology. Is, everyone's not created the same, but I love the way that committee came together, young, old men and women, and came up with this. And I just want to applaud you for what you have done, what you have begun. And here's the thing, like any ministry or any revamping or revision, you're always going to go through revamping and revision. And right now we're kind of in a process of revisioning and revamping. We had a system that was geared towards Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, where our Wednesday nights has kind of changed over the past year or so. And so now we're, there's a focus on Sunday mornings. I want to share with you a very important piece of what has taken place over the past 6 or 7 years. And in short, and I don't want to mess up the description, I wasn't on that committee, but there was this idea about trying to create a rotation of classes so that in about a 6 year time frame, if a kid starts in pre-K and they go through 6 years of instruction through this system, they would have gone through the entire Bible. And a lot of this material was the effort of someone compiling and writing and printing out this material. I would come in the office on mornings and the copier is just going. I'm like, what? There's no one here. What is going on? There's just copy after copy after copy. Well, there was a person who was at home writing material and sending material to the copier to print out to make sure that teachers had material and kids had materials. And she was at home copying videos and copying music so that teachers would have materials and everything. And I want you to know, Sister Mindy Lisa, for the past 6 years, she has finally completed the entire education materials. So we have it. We don't have to go buy it. We may have to print out some things or compile some things. And Mindy has been doing that for the past 6 years. Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Mindy. And rather than me even babbling on about what you're doing, I think I'll reserve some time here. I want you to just come up. Could you just kind of share with us just, what you have done and what it all meant? Where's my microphone, or a microphone? Let's not use a bass mic. Unless many, this is Christy's mic. Okay, here we go. Sure, yeah, just share.
Okay. 6 years ago, we decided, like Deon said, did a really good job explaining it. But we make this special for the kids. When I came here 18 and a half years ago, we chose this congregation because my kids were very little. And I wanted a place where my kids could come to know Jesus, come to know God, and love him on himself. Not come because of me or for my husband, Don. They came. We want them to come to have their own relationship with God. So this whole class situation is set up just for that. But we also had other issues to deal with. We had trouble getting teachers. We had to cancel a program because one program took teachers away from another program. So it's hard in today's world to do it. Like you said, 12, 18 weeks worth of teaching. Sometimes you said, I'm going to teach, and then you end up doing it for a year and a half. So now the teachers only have to teach every 2 to 3 times a rotation. That's what it's called. A group of lessons is called a rotation. But they're fun. However, every single time the kids open their Bible, there is a prayer, at least one prayer, and a memory verse. So they are getting the meat, but in a way that they understand. So this has been a very important past 6 years of my life. He got me a little emotional there because that's pretty much what I did for the past 6 years. Still kind of getting it down because we'll be moving pretty soon. And so it's kind of like a legacy for me. But I want to thank all of you. In fact, if you have ever taught or were a shepherd or any process of anything from birth through teens, could you just stand up? Because I want the congregation to see how many people have done something.
Cool.
Thank you. And those who aren't standing up, please consider helping in some way. Because as you can see, it's important to our kids. There's little things you can do, big things you can do. See, one of the committee members, some of us are ill today, and some of them are traveling, so not everyone's here. But see me or any of the other committee members for that. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Mindy. Wait. You're moving?
Yes.
I knew that. I kind of knew that. And we knew that. And before you go back to your seat, something.
You know, one of the things that we've been studying in the adult program this particular quarter has been praising God through his creation. And I'm standing here and I'm thinking about, you know, today we're here together to praise God. And we're praising God for creating you. And praising God for bringing you here. And for the tireless effort you have put into this program. Dion took a lot of the words I was going to say and has already shared them. And that part about seeing Mindy for the last 6 years over here at the building, putting stuff together for a lot of people has been unbelievable. All you who just stood up a minute ago, who served in roles, shepherding, teaching, or whatever, could you stand up again, just real quick? Every one of these people are standing up, benefited from the work that you've done. Mm-hmm. And I look at how many are here, and the work that they did is directly related to the time and the effort and the love that you have for the kids here and mm-hmm. for this congregation. You can sit down now, but I just wanted you to think about that, because Jesus said to his disciples as he was getting ready to go back into heaven that the Spirit was going to come upon them, empower them to make them witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the rest of the world. All you kids who've been in this program any time for the last 6 years, stand up. One of the things Mark said today is he's a product of this education program. Every one of these kids that you see here are also going to be witnesses mm-hmm. and benefiting from the program that you helped put together mm-hmm. and wrote. So these are part of your legacy. Mm-hmm. Have a seat. Mm-hmm. And the other part that I want to share is letting you know that the program that you developed had an effect on the adults. We were kind of floundering around, and we didn't copy your stuff, but the concept that you had for this 6-year program going through the Bible led to the program that we're using, which today is a 6-year program taking us through the Bible. So your thought power has gone to a lot of different places. But as you leave, which we hate to see, but as you leave, I want you to know that as a congregation, we're committed to continue following this same program so that the kids here will have a good basis and that the adults will grow from that as they grow and help the kids. So thank you, Mindy, and praise God for the work that you've done and for being here with us. And just can't say anymore. Just thank you so much.
Mindy, I stand here, I've known you for so long. I as a part of our, she's in our small group, and I just deeply admire the work, your effort, your heart, and everything that went into this. I stand back and I stand here and I'm in awe of your persistence, your commitment to seeing something so big brought together, and your faith that God would lead you through that. I think that is how God has gifted you, you and Don both, with your faith. And your small group benefits, your family here benefits from it all the time. When we think about our children's education, to echo Bill's words, I know so many times in our small group, we'll be studying from some passage and she'll share her wisdom or her, you know, the research that she's done to create, you know, biblical lessons and biblical truths for our children that we as adults get to benefit from as well. So awesome. I stand here and I words can't adequately describe how much we appreciate everything that you've done for us. And a small way for us to express this thanks and appreciation to your heart and all your countless efforts that went into it. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Kent will return in a moment to bless the luncheon that we are going to have. And again, everyone here is invited to stay for that luncheon. The star of that luncheon is this beautifully decorated cake. You have to see it. It's awesome. Pretty awesome. But I want to end with an invitation. We have an invitation at the end of service, and it looks different, you know, from week to week. We want the invitation to connect with what's being said. We've been talking about children's ministry. We've been talking about children's education. We've been talking about the investment in our present and our future. If we want the preservation of God's church, of God's presence in this community, We ought to get serious like Jesus, and we need to let the children come to Jesus, and we need to bring kids to Jesus so that he can bless them. And so I just want to echo my thanksgiving to God for all of you who over the past several years have volunteered in some way, shape, or form in our children's ministry program. Teachers, shepherds, you know, printing and going out and buying materials, you know, all those things. But even, you know, just as a church, when we give during our offering, you know, part of that money goes to children's education. And so in that regard, everyone here has been a participant in this very important ministry. So I want to thank God, and I want to thank you for being a servant in a very important ministry. What can we do? Here's the invitation. The invitation is for, you know, those of you who may have never participated by way of teaching or shepherding or, you know, getting supplies. So sometimes every 2 or 3 weeks, someone has to go out and go shop and buy this list of things. So one of the things that Mindy does when she writes this material, she writes, you know, we need 3 bags of marshmallows and a blue marble and a metal pitcher with a picture of Bill Raper on it. I don't know. hey, you got to make that happen. That's one of the lessons, you know. And so we need people to go out and shop and do those things. And so maybe you don't see yourself in the classroom teaching a kid. That's fine. Or you don't see yourself in the classroom being a shepherd. But hey, can you go spend 2 hours and go shopping? That's something very simple. And that is a way of investing in children. Parents, if you have children, the invitation is for you to invest in your children. First, at home. At home, try to do something to encourage your children to learn the ways of God. And then take advantage of the church's offerings in children's ministry. Sundays, if you have teenagers, man, you need to bring them to be a part of what's going on with the youth group. There's learning that goes on there. There's community and fellowship. There's all type of building that goes on in these. So parents, invest in your children at home and at church. This is an invitation for the church, for us to continue to invest in developing ministry to children that is superb, that is creative, that's exciting, that's something that we can go out into the neighborhood and say, hey, what are your kids doing on Sundays or during this time when we have these special, you need to get your kids here. And so the church, we've got to invest. We've got to invest time, energy, and we've got to invest money. It costs money. But we have some creative and some minds of stewards in here. I get that. But we have to invest. And not only that, we have to invest in just education in general. So that goes for the adult education and children's education. Here's something else. Invest in understanding that Jews have had ever since ancient Israel became a nation and a community of God. And again, here's a phrase that got a politician in trouble for it. I don't know why, because it's just truth. It takes a village to raise a child. It just does. We don't raise our kids in isolation from the community of faith. And so there are so many ways that we can participate in the raising of children, you know, whether it's through the children's ministry or whether it's just through having interaction with our kids, safe interaction with our kids. Here's another invitation. Invite somebody to Sunday school. We have Sunday school every week at 9:30. Invite somebody. Have your kids invite their kids. If they invite kids, say, hey, we'll come pick you up. Because maybe their parents won't bring them or can't bring them or they don't want to. Go pick up your kids. How many people here? I know there's a couple of people here who started going to church before their parents started going to church. It happens. There are some parents that go to church now because someone invited their kids to go to church first. So invite kids to come to church. These are invitations, church. And then the invitation to commit to serve as a teacher, as a shepherd, again, getting supplies or recruiting servants. I end with this. You never know. What an investment in someone's life will do for a child in the future. When I was in Lansing, I was the youth and worship minister in Lansing, Michigan. We were only there for a couple years. And there was a kid by the name of Caden. And Caden was right on the brink of coming into youth group age right about the time I was leaving. So I didn't have a lot of interaction with him. Now I knew his family, his mother was my secretary. But I didn't have a lot of, you know, interaction with him in class. About 4 or 5 years ago, this kid calls me out of the blue and says, hey, Dion, I'm getting married. And if you would, could you honor us and do our wedding? I said, sure. Now, you know, I'm a minister and I get requests to do weddings all the time. But sometimes I, you know, just kind of wonder, like, why me? So I remember going, and I drove up to Findlay. I met them halfway. They lived in Michigan. I met them in Findlay to meet with Caden and Rachel. And we sat down at Panera Bread to just kind of talk about marriage and wedding and get to know each other. And I said, well, first things first, why you ask me to do your wedding? This is what he said. It has always stuck with me. He said, Dion, you probably don't remember this, but you were teaching a class once that I was in, and I asked a question about, you know, being a weirdo or something like that. And you said something like, man, Jesus loved weirdos. And you went through this whole teaching about all these strange people that Jesus ministered to. He says, that day has always stuck with me. And when I became a Christian, I told the guy who baptized me, that was the moment that I really believed that Jesus loved me. And when it came to the most important day in my life and sharing with my new bride, I couldn't think of anyone else I wanted to share that with except for the person who taught me about Jesus. This is what I'm saying. Invest a 3-week rotation with kids. In 10 years, they might call you and say, hey, could you perform our marriage ceremony? I mean, if you're able to do that. You never know what you are doing by way of investment. That's the invitation for you today. I just want to take time to thank all those involved right now. You know, Bethany didn't want to be mentioned, but you know, Bethany and Kim Johnson met with us several months ago and wanted us to begin just a refocusing and just a restart with children's ministry. So I just want to thank them for their hearts and their effort, and everyone that's on the education committee right now. You know, Trina and Barb and I'm probably leaving people out. Forgive me for that, but thank you so much for what you are doing and investing in the ministry to our children. That's the lesson. I'm gonna call the praise team up, and wanna thank the young fellas that helped us out. Mark, number one, you look just like your father. But number two, thank you for those insightful comments at the table. Eric, thank you for the prayer and meditation challenge. Thank you, Luke, for informing us about family news, and thank you, Keenan, for blessing us. Keenan may be putting on display right now what we've known for a long time. The boy can sing. He's a very talented young man, and so thank you for leading us in worship. And I would suspect that the reason why these young men, and we have young ladies that do a ton of things as well, the reason why they are able to do that is because people in here invested time and energy in their lives. So let's continue to do that with our youth. Let's stand and let's sing.